Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I have eyes to see.
I have eyes to see.
I have ears that hear. And my spirit does perceive. You're really talking to me. I'm going to kind of skip through a little bit of Philippians 3. You can check it all out later on. And I'm using the Amplified because it was a real press. So it's verse 1. For the rest of my brethren, delight yourself in the Lord and continue to rejoice that you are in Him. I want to make sure that you are aware that this is Paul directing his believers that you're in the body, in Him. To keep writing to you over and over of the same thing is not irksome to me, and it is a precaution for your safety. So in other words, being repetitious is not a problem. Verse 2 is a cautionary thing, which is kind of where we were earlier. Look out for those dogs. The Judaizers is in parentheses, but I can say we can look at the pharmaceuticals and put that right in there. Because again, today's threats are different. New Age stuff, same idea. Okay? Look out for those mischievous workers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Verse 3, for we Christians are the true circumcision. See, their rituals about circumcision was above all of the knowledge of God, and it was a priority for the Jews. And he says, for we are the true circumcision, who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exalt in glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. Pride ourselves in the relationship of Jesus Christ and being in Him, and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh. That is very important, because we're so accustomed to living in and around circumstances of the natural that we do it without even thinking. It's almost like a thing that we do without thinking. And so St. Paul is going to make sure that they recognize that the confidence you have in the flesh is going to create something. Then he stresses it, and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. So if your focus is on all these things, you're really putting a lot of priority into places where it should not be. And so you can overdo. Balance is what I would call for. Though for myself, I have at least grounds to rely on the flesh. And he begins to speak about all his talents and his education and his circumstances. But then, I want you to skip down, because you can read that for yourself. Verse 8. Furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness and surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowledge, relationship, and of progressively. I want to make sure that you put the word progressively in there. Because again, sometimes the darkness will say, well, you haven't really gained anything. But Deborah's comments tonight, progressively, a little bit at a time, one more notch of stepping on the fear. What are you doing? You're doing it afraid. But each time you do, that spirit backs off. And sometimes you're going to fail the first, second, third, fourth, fifth. It doesn't matter how many times the numbers is, right? Your perception of rejection today was really your protection. And so these things that you're going through, each one of us go through certain things, and they're not always comfortable. But resisting, standing our ground, and progressively gaining, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. How precious is that? More deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, etc., in order that I may win Christ, the Anointed One. Why do you have to win Him? Because the soul, the mind, will, and emotions are focused on the natural. Put no confidence in the flesh, verse 3. When you're putting your confidence in Him, you're going at a higher level. And you're going to get higher benefits, even though there is persecution that goes on inside of you. Because the darkness is going to do its best to push buttons and try to keep you from gaining in your progression of knowing Him. The other night, I was seeing a corner that the Lord was showing me about myself. And I saw it. There was no desire to change it. Do you ever see yourself in a place where you know it's not quite right, but there's no desire to change it? And I started to say, Lord, I need your help right now. I need your grace right now, because this is uncomfortable in a sense, but I can see my soul and my body saying, yeah, you know, this is going to be okay. And it's like sitting down with a half a gallon of ice cream. You know, it tastes good. It goes down. And there's no repercussions until you try to go to bed. And then your body is saying, what did you do to me? At least that's what happens to me. Mm-hmm. I can't declare that to Irene, because Irene would be no problem. Ice cream and her do fine. But I have a problem if I eat too late. My body says, what are you doing? What I was saying to the Lord afterwards is, you know, I really need a reminder. I need to have a little bit of a nudge from your spirit, not to eat that ice cream, not to go after it. And I'm picking on ice cream. It could be anything. You understand? Where I'm coming from is understanding Him more fully. What is the purpose of His Spirit being in us? What is He after?
Deeper relationship.
A deeper relationship. But there's something that I was shared earlier about when Moses went in with all the witchcraft, he had a just one stick. That's all it was.
Hmm.
And he threw it down, and it became
a snake.
Mm-hmm. And it swallowed up the enemy. Are you ready to swallow up the darkness? Are you willing to let the darkness be swallowed up by Him? Because He's in your midst. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's inside. He's right here. Okay? And where's this darkness that's bugging you? It's probably hiding in different parts of your body. I shared with an individual this week that about a week and a half ago, and I think I mentioned it a little tiny bit, but I'm being pressed to open it up a little bit more. I had this terrible pain. I was sitting in my recliner downstairs in front of the fireplace trying to be quiet before the Lord. I don't think I had any music on. I was just resting, you know, right here at his right hand. And all of a sudden, I started getting pain in my two shoulder blades. It got so bad that it felt like a twisted ankle. You know how when you twist your ankle, it hurts and you can't walk on it and it cramps and it swells, et cetera, et cetera. This didn't swell, but that's what it felt like. It felt like all my joints in my shoulders were being twisted. And the pain was horrible. And you know what the first thought was? You should carry your cross. What a nice religious idea. You should carry your cross. It felt like there was a cross on my shoulders now. You know, the enemy, what does he do? He twists the word. Scripture says carry your cross daily. If I would have accepted that lie, how long would I have had that pain in my two shoulders?
Still have it.
Yeah, probably would still have it. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I began to pray in the Spirit, and the translation came out. Spirit of lies, loose and let me go. And I began to declare, I am not letting lies come into me. I am not taking on a cross on my shoulders. Jesus already carried the cross. He was crucified so that I would be free. He paid for my freedom. The finished work he did on the cross. I am walking in freedom. And the more I declared it, anybody got a clue what happened?
Went away.
Huh?
Went away?
No, it made it worse.
Oh, it made it worse.
Oh, yeah.
It got so bad that I had the purpose to speak. And then I began to worship. And as soon as I began to worship, it lightened up. Why?
Because you took your focus off of that and put it on the Lord.
Yeah. And so, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, etc. Verse 9. And that I may actually be found and known as in Him. So your reputation is at stake. Huh? She's one of those wild believers. Not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the laws, demands, ritualistic uprightness, and suppose, right standing with God that acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ. It comes through faith in Christ, not in actions, not in reactions or formulas. Okay? Which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the right standing with God, which comes from God by faith. Which comes from God by faith. Conversation. Discussing King David. Recognizing that King David had quite a history. Would you have voted for him for a second term?
No.
After all, he's had now how many children out of wedlock? How many wives has he got? Would you have let Samuel anoint him with oil?
No. No.
He didn't cut the mustard the right way, did he?
No.
He did all the wrong things and all the right excuses, and he used them all. And he killed how many people? I wouldn't vote for him either. Mm. But Jesus did. He even used him as his spiritual father. Think about it. Why was Jesus called the son of David, not the son of whoever? Because he was bold? He took care of the giant in the land?
Yep.
Amen? How many of his brothers were the trained warriors? Couldn't stand up to him, and he was only a teenager. So, you see, logic with Christianity sometimes can become an adversary. Logic. Natural understanding. Natural discernment. I don't depend on my flesh. I still see myself depending on my flesh periodically. I still see my flesh being, you know, trying to control. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Please say amen. I'm not alone here.
No. Amen.
Okay? But God says it's progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. That verse 8 is so precious. But then skip down to verse 10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Did you get the point? Twice over in the same letter. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power. Say, come to know the power.
Come to know the power.
Outflowing from his resurrection.
Outflowing from his resurrection.
Which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his resurrection as to be continually transformed, continually, progressively, get the picture? Transform in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection. Though spiritual and moral resurrection would not be in my book. That's added words that don't seem to fit. So I will redo verse 11. That if possible, I may attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. Then it says, even while in the body. That, I sense, is correct. So again, verse 11, that if possible, I may attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. Why is he saying that coming out from among the dead? How much of our thinking is deadly or focused on death and fear?
Nothing.
The majority of the brain is so focused on the natural and so focused on death-related and fear-related products that we miss the mark without even realizing it.
That's what happened to me today.
Go ahead.
I had a tremendous pain right here, and it started very slowly, but it continued through the day. And my brain was saying that I've got a broken rib because every time I breathed, I couldn't, it hurt. You know, you get that little pain. And I really went right to fear, and I'm thinking, well, I need to call my primary care doctor and get an appointment. I need an x-ray, and oh, brother, I mean, how your mind just goes and goes and spins.
So I got home and I said, no, nope, I'm going to reach out for prayer. So I texted Pastor and I said, please pray. And he called me and we prayed. And it was an attack, most definitely an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's what happened. I went right to fear. And each time I thought about it, it got worse.
Well, sure, he adds another layer.
He did. By the time I got home, I thought, my God, I can barely breathe.
Yeah. And the spirit of lies. What does he do? He lies to you.
Yeah.
Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies and the Lord of the lies. Yeah. Lift your hands to him. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
This is a good message.
This is a good message.
I got to digest it.
I've got to digest it.
I got to chew on it for a while. I give you praise. For what you are doing in me. And it's not going to change. If I sit back and let anything happen. I've got to be aggressive. So that I can become progressive. More and more like him. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I heard that, young man.
It's true.
Yes, 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 it's definitely. Yes, yes, it's definitely. Yes, yes.